And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And it's good to have the renowned plastic surgeon, the wonderful, brilliant, in fact, I think, Arthur Perry on the show. Arthur, I'm going to ask you a question to start with. If you were doing running, you were training for a race, let's just say a 5K, and you were running with regular cross-country shoes, if you will, cross-training shoes, and you went to these new barefoot-style minimalist shoes. I don't know if you've seen them. They've been on all the programs. Dr. Oz runs with them now. What do you think would happen to your feet? Do you think they'd get better or worse?
Ooh, that's a tough question, Mike. Well,
the study, they really did a randomized controlled study with 36 experienced runners. So we can answer the question, but I wanted your opinion beforehand.
Well, I mean, it certainly makes sense that if we weren't wearing these artificial things on our feet, we'd probably be better off. So if a shoe were shaped more like a foot, like those that you're talking about, I would think it would be better, but this being a trick question, it's probably not.
Well, you're right, it's not. The 36 people completed baseline scans, MRIs, magnetic resonance images of their feet and lower legs and knees, and then all subjects started with normal feet and lower legs, and they were people who had normally run 15 to 30 miles per week. Half continued running as they were with the same running shoes they had, and half were given barefoot-style minimalist shoes, the five-finger ones, free, and were asked to run with those. After 10-week follow-up, MRI was conducted. More than half of those wearing the minimalist shoes began showing early signs of bone injuries in their feet. The most common injury was bone marrow edema and accumulation of fluid in their foot bones. Almost all runners in the minimalist shoes were spontaneously running fewer miles at the end, assuming because their feet hurt. So if you're interested in trying minimalist shoes, you should transition very slowly, be very cautious, and you might think about getting an MRI and seeing after, if you will, just 10 weeks, do you have new injuries that say you shouldn't be one of those using the new shoes? I can't wait to actually send this to Mehmet. In any case, Arthur,
he's already limping,
you had some great studies on, if you will, I wouldn't call it minimalist shoes. I would call it on minimalist ways of getting rid of basal skin cancer.
You know, Mike, basal cell carcinomas are the most common cancer of them all. Fortunately, they are fairly benign, which sounds funny considering they're a cancer. But they're a cancer that virtually never spreads anywhere else. So they're a local problem. And they're a problem for many, many people. As you get older, you have a much more likely chance of getting a basal cell carcinoma. What do they look like? They come in all shapes and forms. They come like nodules or ulcers. But a lot of them that are very confusing to people are just, they look like excoriations on your skin. They itch a little bit. They're flaky. Sometimes it breaks open as a little wound that heals and then breaks open again a month later. And Mike, it's amazing, but people tend to ignore these things for years and years. Now, if they're on your back, probably doesn't make much of a difference if you take care of it this week or 2 months from now. But certainly it does make a difference if it's on your nose or your eyelid or someplace that's critical with your appearance.
Well, so even if it plastic doesn't, certain, can't these cause real problems?
Well, they can, but
it's not just an appearance problem. This is a serious medical problem that can kill you, right?
In an extreme situation, yes. Yes, it can. I actually do have a patient who has a very invasive basal cell carcinoma in his nose, and it's been an awful problem. So yes, you're correct. They can be potentially deadly, but 99.9% greater than that percent of people, they're really just a nuisance. there are nuisances that have to be taken care of, and they have to be excised for the most part. But there's a lot of people that just don't want to go in and have an excision, Mike, like yourself. You probably wouldn't want me to numb you up and take out a little bit of your skin and put some stitches in and keep you off the squash courts for 3 weeks, because that's what is required after we do a surgical procedure. So wouldn't it be nice if you could have maybe just a shave of these things?
What do you mean by a shave? Nice. I take my razor and I shave it?
Almost. Almost. Well, you need a good eye, and it should not be you treating yourself. You know what they say about doctors who treat themselves as patients. We don't want that. But a plastic surgeon or a dermatologist can, usually with a little bit of magnification, numb up the area and then shave the thing, I like to call it a thing, the thing off with a scalpel. Now, we thought that was not a good way to do this. There are other good ways to do this, Mike.
Whoa. When you say shave, how deep are you going with this razor? And why do you need to numb it up? How painful is this? And is there pain afterwards? Is it just as much pain or not as much pain?
Well, no one's taking
The email line is lighting up. People are saying, what do you mean shave? Can I take my razor and shave?
Yeah, no. We're not shaving it off. And by the way, this is not like seborrheic keratosis, rather, which is something that is very superficial and you can almost take off with your fingernail. Not so with this. Don't do that. This is something that a doctor needs to numb you up. If you didn't get numbed up, Mike, actually, I think that's outlawed by the Geneva Convention. You need to be numbed up. It would hurt. I can't imagine
it hurts that much.
Having this. Oh, yes. There are some brave people that don't take lidocaine with dental work. Don't do it with this. Take it, get it numbed up, because there's nothing wrong with a little local anesthetic. We numb it up and we shave it, and you ask me what level. We can actually see that as a surgeon. It's usually the mid-dermis level. That's what we're talking about, mid-skin level. But with a pretty good accuracy, and that's what this particular study came out and showed, with a pretty good accuracy, we can shave these basal cell carcinomas and have them not come back. We look. We have to see and feel. And it's something, it's a skill, just like the skills you developed as an internist.
How many millimeters are you taking off of my skin? Are you getting to the second layer, or is it just superficial?
Yes. No, it's not just the epidermis. It is into the dermis. And so it depends on what part of the body, Mike. The dermis will be anywhere from 1 or so millimeter thick to about 10 millimeters thick, which is a quarter of an inch, on your back. So it depends on the depth of this.
But at least it isn't through the dermis, so it will regrow with less of a scar. Is that right?
That's correct, as long as it is superficial. Now, there are cases often where the basal cell has been neglected. So if you've had it for a few years, it could go through the skin, and then this technique does not apply. This is only for superficial basal cell carcinomas. That means if you get them early, and that's why it's a good idea if you've got very light skin, if you've had one basal cell carcinoma, if you've got splotchy, reddish pigmentation of your skin, and you see all these little veins on your skin, then you'll want to see your dermatologist about every 6 months. And that's where this particular technique can come in handy, because they can now shave these things with a great accuracy, Mike.
And how good are these cameras? When we come back, we're going to talk about Botox's other uses. But I also want to ask you, how good are the camera pictures that will show skin cancers versus non-skin cancers? I guess they've got them for moles now, but do we have anything like that for squamous cell or for basal cell? Or for anything else. We'll be right back on Absolutely. You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Thank you for listening. Keep sending your email questions to us. I'll try and get through them and rephrase them, if you will, to get some of them combined. We're covering them with Dr. Arthur Perry on You, the Owner's Manual radio show.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.